Good evening.
Good evening.
There's a well-known expression from Suzuki Roshi that brings a smile when we hear it. At some point he said, you are already perfect, but you could stand some improvement. It's a really very kind and humorful way to express the truth about human beings, about the truth of our life. And in a more serious view, there are two spiritual traditions that tell us the same thing in a more serious way. There's, of course, Buddhism and its Four Noble Truths, and then there is the Bible, the genesis of the Judeo-Christian tradition. In Buddhism, we know in the Four Noble Truths, it doesn't say we're already perfect, but it does point out the main flaw that we have, the most serious problem that we have, which is ignorance, and the desire that comes from that, and that which creates suffering. So, you know, Buddhism says you are perfect, but you have this problem of ignorance. And in Genesis, you know, the story of Adam and Eve, when in the beginning everything is just perfect, you know, that Adam and Eve are living in this beautiful garden with no worries, and everything is taken care of for them, everything is just fine. But they were given some instruction about something not to do, but they did it anyhow. They did it anyhow. And of course, in that story, God says, well, you're out of here. You're out of Eden. Your life from now on is going to be suffering. So the Genesis tells us about the ignorance, another story of ignorance and foolishness of human beings, in the same way that Four Noble Truths says ignorance is your problem. And so from this foolishness and ignorance comes a desire, and from desire flows lots of mistakes in our life. And from that, we create suffering for ourselves and for the whole world. We are creating suffering even now. And it's all because human beings did not or do not listen to their inner voice or their true voice. And in Genesis, this true voice is known as God. You didn't listen to God, and so you suffer. This is the story of the Bible. And we don't listen to our true voice because we lack mindfulness. And we don't understand, we don't recognize what's going on. We lack mindfulness. So that's why we have this practice to help us learn about mindfulness so that we can be more in touch with this inner voice, whether we call it God or our own wisdom or our own instinct. So to have practice, we have to have some discipline, which in the Bible story, Adam and Eve kind of lacked it, didn't have the discipline. When we don't have the discipline and we lack firm practice, that's when we are caught by our temptations and our desires. But fundamentally, as Suzuki said, we are perfect. We are already Buddha. We are already perfect. We are already enlightened. Originally, we are bodhisattvas. Everyone, without exception. It's true, even though we have difficulties in our life. Already Buddha. And the major difficulty that we have that prevents us from recognizing and expressing our true nature is we react so quickly to our desire. Comes up and we go for it. Rather than taking a moment and listening to our true self and reflecting on this feeling of desire. And because we react so quickly to the desire that comes up, we make mistakes and we create suffering. So we practice mindfulness. That's what we do. We practice to enhance or improve or strengthen our mindfulness so that we can recognize our true self and express our nature. Buddha nature, as we call it. We practice mindfulness so that we can express our bodhisattva mind and our bodhisattva way of life, which means helping others, which means being other-oriented. We help others in the very midst of our foolishness. We are bodhisattvas. So how to take this practice into our everyday life is a very big question. It's the biggest question that we have, and we have been exploring that question here for many years. In discussions and in our workshops, how do we take this practice into our daily life? And it is the most important koan in Zen. And we need to work on this question continuously. How to take this practice into my life? If we don't work on it, then our practice cannot be alive. But also, how to work on the question itself is a big question. And it's another important koan. How to work on the question of how to take practice into life. And both of these questions, both of these koans are the same thing, same koan. And so we try to resolve both of these questions with our practice. First question is about the method, kind of a, how do we take our practice into life? It's like, what is the method? And the second question is, what is our intention? How do we work on that question? How do we work on that method? Knowing or working on the method by itself is no help by itself. We need the intention to how we work on the question. We need to bring some intention into our practice. So, our lives are very busy these days. We have to think a lot. We have to do a lot of thinking. We have to make a lot of decisions and lots of planning and moving around. We have to think and we have to see many things and do many things. Very busy. And naturally, we want to feel successful in the various things that we do. We would like to know that we got it right. provided some good and it was successful. We want to feel good about what we do. This is very natural and this is right. When we are mindful, when we bring mindfulness into our daily life, sometimes we will feel that something we're doing is not working. When we're mindful, we say, this doesn't feel right. Looks like success is escaping me. And when we feel that way, it's possible that we become disappointed and discouraged. But when we have this feeling, this isn't working, this isn't going to work, my plan is not going to be successful, we may decide, I'm not going to do this right now, or that the time is not right to do this right now, or I should wait for better conditions, a better situation to do this, or I need to have more information to do this, or I need to have more control over the situation, I need to have more resources, many reasons. When something isn't working, we say, I'm not going to do this right now, many reasons. And they can be valid, real good reasons to stop doing what we're doing. The thing we have to watch for is make sure the reason is valid and not just some excuse to stop. With our mindfulness practice, we can sort it all out. This is a true reason, not just making up a reason to get out of doing this. This is a true reason to not continue with this activity that can't be successful right now. So often it does make a lot of sense to wait before doing something, to postpone it when it's the right thing to do. But if we decide to do that, we're going to stop this and postpone it. If we decide to do that, it doesn't mean that we then totally ignore the situation. We continue to work on our problem through the standpoint of our practice. In other words, we don't ignore some situation just because it's not ideal or not convenient. If we wait for some ideal situation or for more control or something like that, we're not really alive. It's important that we keep our intention alive. Even though we say, we need to stop this. If we say that, we don't turn our back on the problem. We keep our intention on it. We stay mindful of it. We don't just throw it away. You know, if we have that kind of orientation, we never have a problem. We will not become a slave to desire. If we keep our mindfulness and our intention on our situation, even though we may say, well, for now, it's out of my control. So whatever situation we have, whatever problem we have or difficulty we have, we should work on it with our practice, even though we don't take direct action right now. We have to be engaged in some way with our difficulty. And even when we make our best effort to solve our problem, it may not work, we may fail. And this happens all the time, of course. But it is our spirit of making our best effort, our 100% effort on our problem, this is how we help others. Not because of success or failure, but because of the spirit that we bring to our situation. And this is how we keep the spirit of practice alive. And this is how we bring practice to our life. And how we give people a good feeling. So, as we say in our practice, the point is not to worry so much about success or failure. We try to set aside that kind of judgment. Simply, if something needs to be done, we work on it. Directly or indirectly. So, the point of practice is to help others. This is bodhisattva mind. Helping others means not just when they have a serious problem, but helping others means we always keep our relationships running smoothly. If a bump occurs in a relationship, we explore it and figure out a way to smooth things out. We keep a relationship stable and unbroken. This is how we help others. This is the starting point of helping others. Keeping relationships running smoothly. And when we recognize this point, we won't have too much concern about how we feel about it. We just do it. And success or failure is not important. Just our attitude towards keeping relationships stable. So encouraging others with our way and helping each other, this is an important point. So we don't worry so much about how we personally feel. If relationship with another person starts to get a little rocky, we don't ask ourselves, do I like that person? How much do I like that person? Do I have to worry about my relationship with that person? How we personally feel is not the point. We should fully engage in keeping our relationship smooth and stable. Fully engage ourselves in that activity. That kind of mind, of course, will help ourselves as well as helping others. So when we are dedicated to our practice, when that dedication is strong, there will be no worry about whether we fail or whether we didn't fail. And if we can see things without discrimination, there, right there is a bodhisattva mind. You know, do I like her or don't like her? How much do I like her? Put that aside and just keep good relationship with everybody. The story of many years ago, in the early days of this practice in San Francisco, probably 1970s or late 1960s, when Katagiri Roshi was here helping Suzuki Roshi, a woman came to him and said, "Oh, Roshi, I went to visit my friend in the hospital. She had mastectomy, so I went to visit her. And Roshi, all she did was complain. She kept talking and talking about herself and how sorry she felt for herself. I could hardly stay with her, hardly visit her." And Katagiri says, "You should listen to everybody." Listening to everybody, independent of whether you like or dislike, is bodhisattva mind. So our practice, our dedicated practice, is simply to accept our present situation just as it is, and accept the person in front of us just how she is. No waiting, no sense waiting for this other person to act in the ideal way for us. No waiting to be in control of a situation. Just be totally present. This is our practice, to act fully in each activity without holding back. So it means we accommodate ourselves. We accommodate our mind, we accommodate our body to the conditions right in front of us. And when we are ourselves, naturally ourselves, without limiting ourselves, everything is smooth. Everything can be smooth. So it's important to develop our capacity to see and do things without discrimination, without our habitual way of seeing or doing. Because when our discrimination becomes too much, we start to develop ideas of wanting to control a situation, wanting to control things, and wanting to control people. And that creates confusion in daily life. Should I speak to her? Should I act? Should I not act? Should I go and visit? Should I not go and visit? When we discriminate like that, rather than rely on our inherent kindness and our inherent wisdom, which tells us what to do, if we discriminate like that, we will have problems. So we practice this way to learn how to do that. If we are hoping to gain success only when some situation is perfect, ideal, or only when we are totally in control of a situation, if we are looking for success under those circumstances, success won't help us, even though we may attain it. The better way for ourselves and for others is to do our best in difficult situations, whether we like it or not, whether it is ideal or not. Then our experience will help us and will help others. If we sometimes feel that we have achieved something really good, something really great, it may not be so great. We may discover later, oh, that wasn't so great. But if we do something simply because it needs to be done, and even though we may not be able to point to some accomplishment, if we do something because it needs to be done, then our activity is helping. And we find great confidence in that. then that's when we have practice. And original bodhisattva way of life. So it really means that it is selflessness that is the Garden of Eden.